wanted to share a couple of scriptures with you this morning, a couple of key things that I believe as we sort of move in to this space, just kind of set the platform, I suppose, for what the journey's been like up till now, and what I felt the Lord has just been laying on my heart the last few days. There were three things. One is that it's a time to shine. The other thing was that it's a time to love. And the other thing was it's a time to connect. And in John 1, it says the Word gave life to everything that was created, being Jesus. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life brought light to everyone. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. I'll say that again. The Word, being Jesus, talk about in John here, it gave life to everything that was created. Jesus gives life to everything that was created. And when it talks about everything, it talks about everything, including you and me. So He comes and He brings life to everything that was created. This is an important point, because one of the things about being in this club, one of the purposes of us being here, is to bring life to everything that was created. Every person who walks into this club, I want life, being Jesus, to fill their heart. Not death, not destruction, not addiction, not pain, not brokenness, but life. And I want life to fill the hearts of every person that you come in contact with, because Jesus resides in you, and therefore I want you to know that Jesus wants to bring life to everything He created. Now, every person who comes into this club is created by God. Not one person is not, every person here. So that is our call as a family. I said to the worship team this morning, I want to be the best tenant that this club has ever had. Right? Because I think that we hold something in our heart, being Jesus, that is incredible, and He brings life to everything that He created. And it says that His life brought light to everyone. His life brought light to everyone. I love that. And so those who stand in darkness, by the very presence of us being here, and it says that the light, I love this, it says the light shines in the darkness. Isn't that good? And the darkness cannot extinguish it. So it doesn't matter how much darkness surrounds you, light is always stronger than darkness. Light is always stronger than dark. You could walk into a room, and I don't know if you've ever walked into a room, and I've done this plenty of times, where someone's asked me to come and pray because there have been spirits at work within their room. I am bold in that place because I know that light overcomes darkness. Darkness doesn't overcome light. When you walk into a space, whether it's even in your workplace, and you feel like that there's a tension there, a spiritual tension, there's a darkness that resides over that place, you need to know that your light is stronger than the darkness which you enter. We do not need to fear anything. We do not need to be afraid. And God wants us to shine. It's our time to shine. You know, I always laugh. You know, I think about churches. You know, we're the light of the world. The Bible says in Matthew 5, I'll read it. It says, you're the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We're the light of the world, not the light of the church. Right? Our light is meant to shine into darkness. That's where it has its most impact, in dark places. You get full of light and you walk into a dark place and things start to happen. And the reason we come is that we want to get filled with light and life, so that when we go in, we push back the darkness. And that is the call of the church. That's the call of Sea Change. That's the call of your life, whether you're at school or university or workplace, wherever you are, that life and light shine through your soul and in your heart, and you push that back, any darkness you come in contact with. I'm not afraid. I was sitting down in the club last night having a few drinks with a couple of guys, and I was excited because I was like, Lord, let the light shine. Let it fill the darkness. Because, you know, whenever we walk into a dark place, it's just a manifestation of brokenness. Humanity is broken, and when we're broken, we do dumb things sometimes. You know that. You probably know that in your own life. I do that. When I feel broken, when I feel disturbed, when I feel like I'm not totally connected to the Lord, what tends to happen? I make dumb decisions. I say dumb things. My mind gets all weird on me. You know, that kind of stuff. But when I'm full of light and hope, then I allow that to work through me. And we shine light. So it's time for us to shine and allow ourselves to shine. It says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out so for all to see. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see. So it's time to shine. It's time to be the church. We don't come to church. We are the church. And we be the church. And we shine out everywhere we are. So I just want to say, hey, it's time to shine. Every conversation you have this week, every conversation you have in this building when you come to church, realize that you're a lampstand that wasn't put under a basket. So if when you get out of the car, maybe practically you need to get the basket off your head and just like put it in the passenger seat, walk into church and go, I'm going to shine today. Whether it's whoever I meet here on the way out, if you hang around after church and you go and have a meal, let your light shine that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Shine, church. Just be the church. Get so full of God that you can't help but shine. I love this. I read this. It says, lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. Right? Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to shining. They just shine. So as we get full of God and less full of ourselves, full of Holy Spirit, full of Him, then we shine. So it's time to shine, church. Let's shine. Everyone say it's time to shine. I don't know, I get the feeling some of us aren't feeling very bright this morning. Let your light shine. We push back the darkness. Yeah? Turn your dimmers off. Oh, thank you for that shining light. Thanks, Pete. It's time to love. Just before this place became available, I had a dream, and it was of a wedding reception, and it's just amazing to me just how God orchestrates things. And I want to share this story again today because being here is not just a good idea, but it's part of God's call for us as a family. Like, I feel like we're here because God wants us here, not because any of us had any brilliant ideas. Every good and perfect idea and gift comes from Him. And so God gave me this dream, and I had this dream, and it was of a wedding reception, and I was walking into the wedding reception. It was at the moment in the reception where the bride and the groom were deeply connected in love. It was the bridal waltz. And the Lord said to me, who would dare interrupt love? And I saw in that moment as I was in this dream, and it was like, that is a picture of the church. That is a picture of the bride and the bridegroom connecting together in intimacy, connecting together in love. And He said, Brooke, don't you dare interrupt love. And one of the things that God wants to do as we come together is He wants us to come together and He wants us to learn what it means to love. He wants us to learn once again what it means to love Him. We are in a reception place. What's really funny about this story, not funny, but what needs to happen, when I came up here to visit the place, they said to me, we were in that room just in there, and I said at the end of the conversation, I was super excited to have us here, and I was so good, and I said to them at the end, I said, do you reckon we could have some storage? And they're like, yeah, no worries. We'll take you around to this room. And I said, yeah, this would be big enough. As we're walking out, Tasmeen says to me, or Tammy, I think it was Tammy, one, was it you? Yeah. She said, did you notice on the door of the storeroom, it said the bridal room? They gave us the bridal room to store our stuff in, the church, right? I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. The wedding reception Don't interrupt love. Put your place in the bridal room. We're about to have a reception. Ooh. Isaiah 54 verse 5, for the Creator, it says, for the Creator will be your husband. I want to read from John 3, 22, and it's up on the screen here. It's a story of John the Baptist baptizing people, and Jesus has come on the scene and he's also baptizing people. And I just wanted to sit in this passage this morning just a little bit as we think about what it means for you and me to be the bride. Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing in Enon near Salem because there was plenty of water there and people kept coming to him for baptism. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people and everyone is going to him instead of us. Oh, what a problem. Everyone's going to Jesus. No one's coming to us anymore. It's a new kid on the block. John replied, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride. And the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. As I'm reading this story, I just wanted to reflect on this verse 29, because it says the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bride waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete. The focus of this story is the fact that Jesus... the focus of this gospel story, if you like, and the good news about this story is that the bridegroom marries the bride. And the focus of this story is the intimacy that an individual can have with Jesus. And John says, I'm happy to stand on the outside of this and introduce people to Christ because that is where love happens, right? Now, they can repent with John. They can turn their ways, they can get spiritually cleansed from their sins, but they don't get Holy Spirit unless they get Jesus. John said, I baptize with water, but one will come after me, Jesus, who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to come into our life, and I feel like through baptism and through this whole idea that Jesus wants us to understand that he wants you, that he is calling you. It says no one comes unless, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. God is actually giving you the opportunity this morning and giving people the opportunity to know that God wants to meet with you personally. Now, one of the things as I was reading this story was that too many of us see ourselves as the bridegroom's friend rather than the bride. And we stand on the outside of this wedding and we see what's going on and we see how, and John said this, he said, I'm just the bridegroom's friend. And I'm not being down on John, but as I was reading this, the Lord was speaking to me, it's like God's inviting us into that place of intimacy and he's not just wanting us to be his friend, he's wanting us to be the bride. Now, so many of us can disqualify ourselves from this relationship with Christ, whether it's because of our intimacy or whether it's our brokenness or whatever, but I feel like the Lord wants to call you into a place of intimacy this morning. He wants to dance with you. How many of you have sometimes been in a, you know, you've been in your journey and other people have been encountering the life of Jesus and you just look at them and go, oh, that's for them and not for me. I'm a friend of the groom. I'm just on the outside. It's not for me. But I want to say it is for you. I want to say this relationship with God is for you. It's not for the just for the person sitting next to you or not just for the person sitting behind you or in front of you. It is for you. In fact, this relationship with Jesus is for you. God wants to have, through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, the most intimate, passionate relationship with you that you could ever imagine. I want you to get this morning. Because intimacy scares the life out of us, I think. And I get that. It scares the life out of me. Because you know when you're intimate with someone, you know, or someone knows you really well, there's no hiding. They get to know things about you that, you know, that other people don't necessarily know. And Jesus wants to enter. You know why? Because he sees you not as that broken person. He sees you as righteous and holy and set apart for him. That's who you are. He likes you. I've said this a thousand times. He really likes you. And he wants to draw us into that relationship with him, where that intimacy, where we're not the bridegroom's friend, but we become the bridegroom. And then we know what it means to have be loved. Because as you're full of love, you become full of light. And as you're full of light, you begin to shine. It's only those who don't understand love that don't understand how to shine. And as you get full of him, and he wants to come even right now in this moment, and he wants to fill you with his love and his kindness and his mercy. It's what Jesus did, broke out of the beautiful nature of heaven to come down to earth to be part of our mess so that we would know what love looked like. We need to stop playing second fiddle. We need to stop saying, I'm always the bridesmaid and never the bride. Now, for a bloke, this is a hard thing to get your head around. Right? Like, I just, as I'm reading this, I'm trying to take out the, but God wants to have intimacy with us. And he wants us to stop disqualifying ourselves. And it's time to say yes to him. Because as we say yes to him, we say yes to the kingdom. We say yes to shining. We say yes to his church. In verse 29, this relationship, you know, it says, the friend who attends the bridegroom awaits and listens to him. Even he listens to him, always about him. And is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. He's full of joy. And the joy is mine is now complete. And this relationship should be surrounded by so much joy. Now, I was watching Big Bang Theory this week. Sorry about that. I didn't watch the whole, I just sort of caught it as I was walking through the lounge room. Did you watch it, Margaret? Oh, thank you. You're the wisest person in the room, probably the oldest, so I thank you for permission. So it's the episode where Penny and Leonard and Sheldon is challenging Penny and Leonard about the fact that they've been engaged forever and they won't set a date. And there's a situation where he's just sitting at the table and they're on the other side and he's not saying anything. And they're like, we'll do it eventually. He's like, okay. We're going to set a date. Yep, no worries. We just got stuff on. Yep, okay. And eventually this goes on for a while. And they're making excuses about, you know, why they're not ready. You know, it's work and life and study and just situational. And how often do we put off our intimacy with God, I was thinking about, because of our life? Everything gets in the way of the fact that he becomes not the object of our affection, but life becomes the object of our affection. And it's like, it's not now, or we've turned faith into this kind of religious activity and it hasn't become about intimacy. And it needs to become about that. And so eventually the scene moves and Penny and Leonard are sitting on the lounge and Penny turns to Leonard and she says, "I'm not doing anything now." So all these excuses became non-excuses. He says, "I'm not doing anything now." And he looked at her and says, "I'm not doing anything now." And so they go off to Vegas and get married. Actually, I didn't see that bit, but yeah. But I thought it was such a beautiful picture because I was thinking about this marriage narrative all week. And then I watched Big Bang Theory and God speaks to me. I'm looking at it. It's all this sense of, yeah, it's kind of right. So often we're engaged to the Lord, but we're not married to him. We're kind of connected to him and we kind of say we're together, but we haven't understood. Now, let me understand this. The baptism, if you've been baptized and given your life to Christ, then that is the moment when you are married to him, right? You become the bride in that moment. But I think maybe some of us forgot we had that moment. We had our wedding anniversary this week, 26 years. I remember that I'm married. Not just because of the date, but every day I'm reminded. Don't forget you're married to him. And if you're not married to him, and I know this is, I'm sort of using this language and I know it's super weird because if you're here and you're a guy and I'm talking about getting married to Jesus, you're thinking this guy's crazy. But what I'm saying is if you take the narrative, you take the story, Jesus wants intimacy with you. He loves you and he's for you. And he's not afraid of you. He actually wants to be in relationship with you. And he wants to live a life in partnership with you. And he wants you to follow him all the rest of the days of your life. And that's the good news. And one of the things that I feel so proud of, that Tammy, of all the people in the world, she chose me. Why? Kellard said she's still asking herself. But he chose you. He chose you. Now, get this. He chose. That's a big deal. If you're married, think about that. If you're not married, think of another time where someone picked you out of a crowd and says, "I want you with me." When Jesus looks, you're the first person he picks. He chooses you. The Bible says that you didn't choose him. In fact, he chose you. You think that you did all the work. You did nothing. He's choosing you. He's pursuing you. He's chasing you. He's wooing you. He's choosing to be in relationship with you. He's old school. He's the groom and he gets down on his knees. He says, "Will you marry me?" And he did do that. He's so good. So I want you to shine, I want you to love, and I want you to know what it means to be in an intimate relationship with him, and I want you to not play second fiddle. I want you to know and remind you are married. You're not just the bridegroom's friend, you are the bride of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Most receptions, there's other people at it. That's just so profound, isn't it? We come together as the body of Christ. And he wants us to shine, he wants us to love, but he wants us to connect. He wants us to do this together in this place. And so can I encourage you to love and to shine your light into each other and upon each other, and to encourage each other? And can I encourage you to love each other well? So what that means in this place is that just be hospitable. Be the best tenants in the world, not just to this place, but to each other. Continue to encourage each other and spur one another on to love and good deeds. Use the space that we've got here. Go downstairs, have a coffee, hang out with each other, have a chicken snitty, have a Sunday roast, ask someone to shout you one. Because we're Christians, we're generous. I think we're on the cusp of something really significant. And God wants to use this church in this time to make a huge difference, to see change. That's who we are. So let's all stand. I want to pour out some love tonight. Invite the band to come up. You want to come up? Let's just posture our hearts before him. Just close your eyes and just be still in his presence. If you don't know Jesus and you haven't had a relationship with Jesus, I just want to encourage you this morning to say yes to him, because he has chosen you. All you need to do is just admit your need for him. Confess that you've been going a different way, doing your own thing. And believe that he died on the cross for you so that he could set you free from all sin and pain and suffering, and that he wants to enter a relationship with you. Just say yes to him in your heart. And maybe there's some people here this morning, I just want to pray for all of us, because I think at times we forget that we're married and he wants intimacy. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, as weird as it is for me and probably for many, Lord, I pray that we would learn to dance with you again, keep in step with you, to enjoy being in your presence, where our eyes and hearts are just fixed on each other, where you become the person of our affection. For those of us who have disqualified ourselves from the race and always saw ourselves as the bridesmaid rather than the bride, I pray in Jesus' name that you would remind us of who we truly are. Us to see things in a new light. Send out your church, Lord, we want to shine. Thank you that light pushes back the darkness, and the darkness will overcome it. And we look forward to the great impact we're going to have in this place and in our lives, in Jesus' name.